It's weird when the big guns are around, you know, Fred and Carlos and the guys, you know, you kind of, it's a blessing to receive. And I hope you enjoyed it as well. I want to encourage you, some of the recordings of the camp are on the sermon website. It seems the sermon website is still not the old one, so there's still the Tooting and the Wimbledon congregation. And I think if you don't find it at the Weybridge site, then look under Tooting, because Dong seems to upload most things there. So some are on there already. Fred said some must be edited, so we're working on that. But I want to encourage you, there's what Fred was ministering on last week here, you tried to do in a short time, but it's on showforonline.tv. In three sessions he did that in Stellenbosch, so that gives you an idea. But it's really good. It's called Dealing with Disappointment, showforonline.tv. Okay, so have a look there. It's really a great blessing. Don't be fooled by the title. It covers quite a lot. But yeah, feel free to have a look at that and pass on the link. Amen. Let's pray. God, we just such a blessing, Lord, to be in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for the blood of Christ that has bought us this privilege, God, of being in your presence, Lord, and knowing you and having eternal life, God, and being reconciled with you, God. And this morning we just declare, Lord, it's just as Rob said, Lord, just agree with that. We don't take it for granted, Father. We're in awe of what you've done, Lord, and we just declare there's no other name, there's no other one, there's no one else that's worthy of us laying down our lives in thanksgiving and in praise and in gratitude and in worship, God. And so we consecrate this time. What a privilege, Lord, to hear your word, Lord. And we ask that you would breathe life over every word, Lord, and that it will be you speaking to our hearts through your word, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so I want to also be quite brief. David was in South Africa this week on a course, so he got back this morning. So I'm preaching in London as well, and so yeah, I've got something on what it kind of ties in with what Fred was preaching on. So be good if you do get a chance to listen to that. Okay, I want to start with Romans 8. There's quite a bit in there, and I'm going to take out a few pieces from 16, verse 16, 24, and 27. We'll get it up in a moment. Yes, no? Does anybody have a testimony to share? Oh, is it? It's dark. Really? Yes, it's special. It's a special font that I've used this time. Okay. There we go. There's a. Need a hand. Okay, sorry guys, just give me a few moments. Sorry. Okay. That's Romans 8. There's a lot in Romans 8. I'm really going to encourage you to go and read up some of that. And just to get the context. But I'm going to go from verse 16. As Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And then from 24, for we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. All right, so that last one is obviously the one we like a lot. And most of us have memorized it, and that's great. But if we look at the context here, it is quite a challenging context. And now, in terms of us being joint heirs with Christ, that's a massive package of blessing right there. It's a very loaded concept in terms of us being co-heirs with Christ of the inheritance of our Father God. That comes obviously with us being in covenant with God through the blood of his Son Jesus. All right, so that covenant brings us to the point of being co-heirs, and that co-heirs of so much that is encompassed in that one concept. And so that we can spend a whole lot of time on, but it just boggles the mind. It includes everything, every good thing that is in God, in Christ, is ours through Christ. When they did the whole covenant thing in the old days, if you cut covenant with somebody, that all the military might and wealth and everything that came with the one party belonged to the other party in that covenant. And even if it was a very unequal one, it doesn't change anything. It wasn't a matter of as much as you give, I bring. It's not like that. It's everything of that one part that belongs and comes with the one party, then after covenant, is also that of the other parties. And so we can kind of look into that and be almost just completely boggled and amazed. Whose Bible is that? Sorry, thank you. But I want to take it just a step further. Now, the part of this, and this is what he mentions here in verse 17, that if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. And then he says this very uncomfortable thing. He says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And you think, no, where is this coming, sneaking this into the deal now? That we're talking about all the blessings of being heirs with Christ, but now why does there have to be a suffering element in this? And Fred addresses quite a few aspects of this also in his messages, so please have a look at that. But I want to look at just a few concepts around it. But that this is indeed one of the things that Christ guarantees us. This doesn't sound like good news, I know. But he says, don't be surprised. In this life, there will be tribulation. And it's not like he's saying, maybe if you're lucky, you can avoid it. No, he's almost saying, guys, this is one of the givens. This is the, you know, in school you get the givens at the beginning of the math problem. This is the given, that there will be trials and tribulations, and there will be difficult times, and there will be things that stretch us and are difficult to go through. But then there's a promise of the glory. And the reason why I chose this scripture to start with, because it says here, Paul writing to the Romans, it says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And so when we find ourselves in a stretching season, and we find ourselves in a time of can qualify as a trial or a challenging time, then it is so important for us to keep a few things in mind and to keep our eyes on our title says, the silver lining of the glorious tomorrow, and realizing that, yes, there is a big God that is in my boat. And although I can't always see the big picture, and although I can't always see exactly what lies ahead, He does. And He has promised the glory that lies tomorrow, that the sufferings that we are, or the challenges that we are facing now, cannot be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Amen. So that's the bad news, is that this is part of the inheritance, is that if we going to be sharing in the glory, then there will also be an aspect of sharing in the suffering. The good news is that the ultimate suffering that Christ has gone through, we don't share in that. Amen. And that is the only reason why we can be co-heirs, because He has suffered all the things that we should have suffered for our sin, and He has taken that upon Himself, and He has carried that load, and He has paid the price that we are not able to pay. He has taken that. But for us to be a part of the glory, and for us to be a part of the kingdom coming, there is a guaranteed aspect of trial and tribulation. There's a guaranteed aspect of suffering involved. Maybe this one, not something you'll find on God TV. I'm not sure how it goes there these days. I'm going to continue. I'm going to come back to this scripture a bit. But let's look at Philippians 3, where Paul writes from verse 7. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Why is he brings it in again there? You know, he's talking, all this stuff is so exciting, and then the righteousness of Christ, the power of the resurrection, I mean, that's good stuff. And then says, and the fellowship of His suffering. So again, he says here, and in the context of living in the power of the resurrection of God, he includes here the fellowship of His suffering. And what is Paul is saying here is that if indeed it is our heart's desire and our life's aim and our purpose to pursue the knowledge of God, intimate knowledge of Him, then there will also be a fellowship of His sufferings. There will also be a part that is a trial. There will also be a part that is not pleasant, being conformed to His death. So, also referring here to the fact that if we need to die to our old life in able to be to have resurrection life in Christ. Okay. Now, I promise we're getting to the good news as well. But what I'm trying to say is, especially if you are facing challenging times, know that, like Fred was saying, it's either caused by God or allowed by Him for a very specific reason. And guys, I'm also, to a great extent, talking of personal experience. And so I want to just mention a few things that we need to keep our eyes on while we're going through a situation like that, or a season like that, in terms of persevering. So, in Romans 8, it says there, we eagerly wait for it. But we hope for what we do not see, and we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. And then I want to go on to Hebrews 10, from 32. "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. Excuse me. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. You see, again, there's an aspect of recognizing that what's happening now cannot be compared to the glory that lies ahead, and the glory that lies in eternity. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry, or the just shall live by faith. Persevering. So this morning I want to encourage you, in a time of challenge, in a time of trial, in a time of tribulation, in a time, whatever that form or shape that may take in your life, I want to say, persevere. Persevere in the Word. Persevere in the presence of God. Persevere in thanksgiving. Persevere in focusing not only on your own challenges. I want one of the biggest challenges we face when we are in a time of trial, in a time of tribulation, a time of even suffering, is the temptation of allowing a little bit of offense to come into our hearts towards God, towards people, a little bit of anger towards God. And Fred uses a powerful picture, which I'll just mention. I'll just mention quickly. But he says it's like when a Boeing or an airliner gets hijacked. So it takes off as planned, say at Heathrow, heading for Cape Town or something, and somewhere along the line, somebody enters the cockpit, and the people at the back probably don't know anything until they land at a different destination, miles, hours down the line. And it's just, you know, a small change in course. And often that happens when we allow that offense in our heart, when we allow that hardness to come in, when we allow that doubt to come in, whether God is really good and whether He really has my best, has the best plans for me, whether He really has my best interests at heart, you know, that doubt, whether He's as good as He says He is, and maybe it's so for others, but maybe not for me. So that the moment we allow that offense or that anger towards God or even people coming into our heart, that it takes us, you know, we are taken captive, Scripture says, by the enemy to do His will. And there's a course adjustment that happens, and it's not might not be, you know, even observable, or, you know, the guys at the back don't even know about it, but suddenly you find yourself down the line in a different place, and you go, well, how did I get here now? So, not going to go into that, but have a listen to what Fred says about it. Watch, but we need to watch our heart. We need to persevere in keeping our heart pure, and sticking in the Word. And so, in military terms, when you, for instance, when you're on a shooting range or in battle and you're using your weapon, I hope I'm not losing most of the ladies now. Just stick with me, all right? So you use your you're in battle, and if something goes wrong, and things are pear-shaped, say for instance your weapon goes, something goes wrong with your weapon, then there are specific drills that get so imprinted in your mind that when that happens, you know exactly what to do. You do those things automatically. It's like same with when we're doing parachuting. When something goes wrong, there are specific things that you do immediately. You don't, you practice them so much that you don't have to think about it. And these are important because they will save your life. Okay, it's the same spiritually. If you find yourself and you recognize, oh my goodness, this is a difficult one. This is a trial. This is a bad situation, or this is a challenging time. Then you need to be so practiced at the basics that you don't have to think about what's important now. And I want to encourage us with this, because the world will try and comfort you with all kinds of other things. The world wants to comfort you with all kinds of other things that minister to your soul and to your flesh, but your spirit will be not satisfied. It might seem to help for a moment, but the real comfort comes when we do the basics well, when we stick in the Word and we stick in the presence of God. Scripture says, do not neglect the coming together of the saints. So when it's a difficult time, don't go to small group less, go more, if it's possible. If it's a challenging time, don't avoid your believer, Christian friends, but spend more time in the fellowship of the saints. Make sure you get to church, even if the preacher bores you sometime, the scripture will be a blessing, and the fellowship will be a blessing. And so I'm saying, even the simple basics are the things that we need to persevere in when the things go pear-shaped. And those things must be so. That's why we focus on those things when somebody is newly saved. Because when things do go wrong, those must be ingrained. They must be so part of you that those are the things that keep you solid, keep you stable, keep you fed, keep you encouraged and nourished. Amen? Do not throw all that out the window, but persevere in those things. And I want to add to that, persevere in thanksgiving. Persevere in recognizing the goodness of God, even in the difficult times. Sometimes, we just look at nature or look at a relationship or just something that blesses us so much and something we haven't deserved, and just recognize the goodness of God. Amen. At the end, I want us to spend a bit of time praying for others that are facing much greater and crazy challenges at the moment in the world. We didn't have to look on the news too long to recognize that the challenges we face are different. I'm not saying they're less challenging, but they are very different from what others experience in terms of persecution and physical danger. But even in saying that, I want to say that it's amazing to you when you hear testimonies of guys that are going through a time like that where there's real physical danger. It's amazing to recognize godliness in the form of people almost ignoring their own need and really just looking out for others. And that, I want to say that the same thing will be a great blessing in any kind of situation that we face, where we choose to say, okay, Lord, I know you're doing something here. I know this is painful for me, but I will look to my left and to my right and see, okay, who can I encourage as well? Who can I reach out to in this challenging time? Who can I be praying for? Who can I be encouraging? To persevere in that as well. Because you know what it does? It helps you to recognize the hand of God in your own life. When you're telling somebody else, you know what, it's challenging, but this is what God is doing. This is who He is in my life. This is who He remains in my life. He hasn't changed. Okay. And then, unfortunately, this is definitely out of personal experience, there is a place where we suffer because of our own stupidity. Okay. Let's just be honest about that. In the army, now this is probably not polite, but in the army we used to, there was this phrase in the defense force. I was in the air force. They used to say, in Afrikaans, it says, "As jy dom is, moet jy suffer." Okay, so in English it just means if you make silly decisions, you're going to suffer. So unfortunately, that's also reality. And I want to throw it out there. It probably doesn't apply to anybody here. It does definitely apply to me. But some of the suffering that I've gone through has been 100% my own doing. Okay? So I want to really encourage you guys. Don't find yourself in that situation. If you're going to suffer, let's suffer for the sake of Christ. Amen. Let's suffer for whatever He wants to do in our life. The good news is that even if it is by our own stupidity, God is faithful to make it work for our good. Okay, so that is remained. That blessing remains. But let's quickly have a look here in Galatians 6:7-10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do not grow weary of doing good, as we said before. Keep at it and do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Then, going on in 1 Peter 4, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Okay? Did you see what he's saying? Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in his matter. So he's saying, don't suffer because of nonsense. Okay. Now, my own tip here is, at the root of this is probably pride. In terms of what you need to deal with to avoid suffering for stupidity. Okay. I hope this makes sense. So, I would say this is the key thing. If we keep our hearts soft, if you want to call that, soft and humble before God, that's the best antidote to suffering for the wrong reasons. Okay, pride has a way of. Pride says if it's going tough, I isolate myself. Right, I'm trying to fix it. I'm trying to make it work. I'm trying to sort it out. Pride obstructs, delays, and derails what God wants to do, even if it's your own stupidity that got you there. So even if you've caused it, your own suffering, humble yourself. Amen? Humble yourself. Make yourself accountable to somebody else. Get some input. You know, along with that pride goes a fear of rejection. What I've done is silly, it's ridiculous, or whatever. I can't talk about it to anybody because people will judge me, and I want people at church look at me funny. And that is the trap, again, of the devil, because that keeps us from a place of healing, keeps us from a place of deliverance, and keeps us from a place of actually growing in that situation. So watch out for that fear of rejection, that fear of exposure, that thing that wants us to isolate ourselves. And make a point of being accountable. Make a point of saying, you know what, I've found myself in this challenging time, or I've made some ridiculous decisions. Help me be accountable so that I can be delivered, so that I can come out of this challenge, so that I can come out of this situation I found myself in. So I refer back to the offense there. So, keep our hearts soft. Keep our hearts alert, so that we do not walk into the trap of offense, and walk in the light. I mean, this is a difficult thing, guys, because there are always things that we think, no, you know, I don't want to talk about this at small group because just people are going to just think I'm like the worst unbeliever. You know, they think maybe I'm not saved after all. But it's exactly those things that even if you just share with one person, even if you just walk in the light with one believer, it's like, just hold me accountable with this thing. There's such power in that. You know that most of the power of sin is in its secrecy? Or even if it doesn't even need to be sin, it can be just something silly. But it's that thing where you feel, I can't share this with anybody. That's when the enemy has got something on you. It's ridiculous. It could even be shame about something that's not even your fault. Could be a feeling of guilt about something that's not even that you have nothing to do with. But the moment you feel, oh, this is my burden and I must struggle with this alone, then the enemy has actually got a foothold to put a burden on you. And it might not feel like it now, but 5 years down the line, it's going to feel like it's killing you. Amen. So be bold. Pray about it. It's like, yeah, sometimes people let you down. Sometimes people might offend you. But the principle of walking in the light is such a powerful one, because it rids us of that shame and that guilt. It rids us of that, the power of that secrecy of, you know, it's just me and God and the devil that know about this. And it seems like God is absent. And the enemy is just nailing me on this. Amen. So walk in the light. Keep your heart soft. You know, Scripture says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. All right, so that I found that really to be true. When we are proud in a certain thing, and we recognize God is trying to do something, but there's something in us that doesn't want to let go, or we just want to be hard headed about something. Guys, that's not a recipe for blessing. I mean, that's a recipe to be opposed by God. And guess what? There's only one person that's going to lose. Amen. All right, let's go to the good news. Okay, so if you're going to suffer, make sure it's towards His purpose. So let me just close on that. So if we're suffering, and so even through the difficult times, keep your eyes and keep your heart on what His purpose is, and what His plan is, and what His desire is. I found even in the most difficult times, when I lift my eyes and I look at Christ and I look at what He's done on the cross, and I connect in my heart with the reason why I've been saved, and the reason why Christ has bled and died, I can face anything. I know that my life is still meaningful because I'm walking in His purpose. Amen. I'm walking in His plan. I can almost, you know, as David says, redeem the time. Even the time of suffering, redeem that time. Make sure that this time of trial and tribulation, make sure that God gets maximum glory out of it. Make it worth it. Amen. Make it work. Let Him be glorified in it. So persevere in encouraging people. Persevere in reaching out to others. Persevere in encouraging, you know, looking out for the needs of others around you, even when your own, it feels overwhelmingly great. Trust God to connect with His purpose in the lives of people around you. Trust God to connect with His heart for those around you, even those on the other end of the earth, those far from us that need our prayer support and our encouragement. Amen. Okay. Let's end with Psalm 30. From verse 5, "For His anger is but for a moment, His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy on me. Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever." Know that if we compare the challenges and the trials and the suffering of the present, it cannot be compared with the glory that lies ahead. Glory not only in eternity, but glory on our lives and through our lives for the sake of His name in this life. And, you know, John Bevere writes in his book, Driven by Eternity, he kind of compares our lives now, the time of our lives now, with the time of eternity, which isn't got time, but it's just a glimpse now which determines so much in eternity. What greater reason is there for us to persevere now, to know that joy comes in the morning, to know that He is faithful, to know that His goodness and His mercy still follow us, to know that there's glory to come, not only for our own lives but for His name, and knowing that will mean His glory will continue in eternity on our lives. Amen. I want to pray for us for a moment. I don't want us to pray for each other. I'm gonna be going to London now, but I want us to pray for a few things. So we're gonna pray for each other for a few of these things, and then I want us to pray for the situation in Saudi with the Fanamara family. I know we've been praying in different parts, and we prayed in intercession the other day. But I just want us to spend a few minutes to pray for the people affected by the fire. I don't know if you haven't heard what happened. The compound where the Fanamara family lives in Saudi Arabia is basically burnt down. Well, not the whole thing, but quite a few families lost loved ones and lost everything they had. And although there's a lot of suffering going on, and the Lord is already doing amazing miracles of healing and in people's hearts, so we just want to, I want us to spend a few minutes praying for that, and for the Fanamaras being so powerfully placed there at this time. And then also for the situation in Syria, and also as obviously as a result of that refugee crisis. We know when we look at situations like those, it does have an effect of, okay, maybe my problems aren't so big after all. So let us just trust God to connect with his heart for that situation, to pray for the situation in Syria, but also for our government to do that, Lord, that they have compassion, and that we would do our part as a nation to deal with that situation, that crisis, and to help those in need. Amen. But I'm going to pray first. That we would pray for, yeah, and then we would spend a few minutes praying for those things. Amen. Father, God, we thank you, Lord, that even in times of trial, Lord, even in times of suffering and hardship and challenges, God, thank you that we know that your promise remains, God, that even if it was caused by our own stupidity or not, or even wherever it comes from, Lord, you are faithful to make it work for the good of those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. God, and we thank you, Lord. Even, I just pray, Lord, for every heart here, Lord. I pray for every person, every family, every community represented, God. And we thank you for a perseverance, Lord. Thank you for a strength to persevere, Father. Thank you for that your word says that you strengthen us with might by your spirit in the inner man. I thank you for a girding up of the loins, as your word says, that even when times are really tough, Lord, that we are strengthened in you, Lord. We are strengthened in your word. We are strengthened in your presence. We are strengthened in the sight of your faithfulness and your goodness toward us, God. God, I pray for grace to keep our hearts soft, Lord. I pray for a vigilance against offense and against hardness of heart and anger at you, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, for an absolute grace from you, Lord, to be humble before you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Not to oppose what's happening, Lord, but to find your provision and your direction and your guidance, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, and we ask now with humble hearts, Lord, we ask, Lord, that whatever else happens, Lord, let your name be glorified in every trial, Lord. Lord, the fellowship that we have with your suffering to a certain extent, Lord, is only for one reason, and that is for your name to be glorified, God, for your name to be made famous, for your name to be raised up, lifted high, God, in Jesus' name. And I ask, Lord, that you would give us grace to keep our eyes on your name. Keep our eyes on your face, Lord. The author and the finisher of our faith, the captain of our salvation, God. In Jesus' name, that we would not falter, Lord. That we would not be discouraged. That we would not be distracted, God. But we would remain firm, planted, rooted in Christ, God. In Jesus' name, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just feel that you want to strengthen hearts now. Even as we sit, I just see the Lord placing his hand on your head, and on your heart, say, Lord, and strength, bringing a strengthening now in Jesus' name, bringing a hope, bringing a courage to endure in Jesus' name. I speak that over every heart, Lord, over every life, over every situation, a courage to endure, Lord, a grace to receive, Lord, your provision for the situation, your provision for every challenge and every trial and every suffering, God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be the comforter, Lord. Be the paracletos. Be the one that surrounds us, Lord, with songs of deliverance. Thank you that your joy comes in the morning. Thank you for songs of deliverance, Lord, even in times of trial, that you release those songs of deliverance over us, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I